We've been going through the book of 1 Peter. One of the things I love to do is just work my way through different books of the Bible and see what God has to say to us. And we chose the book of 1 Peter because it speaks about suffering. And we're in a world right now where believers are facing persecution around the world, driven out of their homes, pastors in prison, pastors getting in trouble for standing up for the Word of God, churches being burned, and even here in America, things are starting to tighten. Pastors in Iowa have been told they can no longer take a stand against homosexuality. Pastors in Canada have been imprisoned for taking a stand for what the Bible teaches. And people suffer in other ways. Disease and difficulty and heartache and financially or maritally or with children that stray or whatever it might be. And it's important to know how to handle this. How can we find peace in the midst of panic, or how can we be holy in the midst of an unholy world? And last week we looked at a message to the women, a word to the wives. And the men were going, yeah, give it to them, Pastor, you know. And well, today it's a message for the men. By the way, several of you asked for the copy of the little article I shared with you about transitioning from a boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0. If you want that, email me, because I don't know who I'll ask for it. And anyhow, today we're going to look at a message to the men. And I want to pray before we look at this passage. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly from this passage. Give us insight into what you are asking of us as husbands, men, and help us not only to hear what you're asking, but give us the grace to do it. We pray in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Well, after noticing her handsome young neighbor bringing home flowers to his beautiful young wife 5 nights in a row, and then passionately embracing her each time, Brian's wife brought this to her husband's attention. She said, I've noticed that, I've noticed really the sweetest thing. Every night, our neighbor brings home a gift and a bundle of flowers, and his wife meets him at the door, and he gives her those flowers, and then he passionately kisses her and embraces her. And I think that's just so romantic. And I'm wondering, why can't you do that? Why don't you do that? And his jaw just dropped, and his eyes got big, and he said, well, I couldn't do that. I hardly know her. Well, what we have there is a failure to communicate. And that, my dear friends, is a critical problem in most of our marriages today. In fact, most men could probably honestly say, I don't really understand my wife. And the Bible speaks to that very issue. And we're going to look at it today. But first, as you know, Peter addressed the women. And he did so in such an appropriate way. I mean, it really was a detailed, relational presentation. It was like, it read like an article from a women's magazine. It told how to relate to your man, how to win your man's heart, how to be truly attractive. And Peter didn't just tell the ladies what to do. He told them how to do it and why they should do it. And the ladies were challenged to intentionally arrange themselves under their husband's umbrella of protection. They were told that it is what they do and not what they say that will have the greatest impact and convict their husbands and capture their husbands' hearts. And they were challenged to give greater time and attention and priority to the internal than to the external. Internal beauty is temporary. Excuse me. External beauty is temporary. Internal beauty is eternal beauty. And so that's what he talked about. And he talked about how internal beauty is really precious in the eyes of God. Now Peter's going to turn to the men. And in just like with the women, he spoke in a certain way, he does with men. And so with the men, his message is very short and to the point and logical. His challenge to the man is wrapped up in just one verse. And I thought to myself, well, why? And part of it, I think, is that men like things that are short and to the point, and they don't want things to just go on and on. But I think there may be another reason, too. I think it's because men have shorter attention spans. Peter has to hit them quick and hard because men just aren't really good listeners. You know, statistics show that women talk twice as much as men. But one woman said, well, probably the reason for that is I say something to my husband, and his response is, what? And so I have to say it again. So naturally, we talk twice as long. Peter ties this challenge that he's going to give to the men into the context by starting out with the word likewise. Look in verse 7, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise. Well, the term likewise brings us back to the context here of a person under authority. So just as wives are to submit to their husbands, husbands are to submit to Jesus Christ. You are under the authority of Jesus Christ, and you are to willingly place yourself under his authority. You need to be sensitive to his voice, sensitive to his command, obedient to his commands. And families are failing today in many cases, and the desperate need of the hour is for men who are willing to submit themselves to the leadership of Christ. Men who are willing to yield to the leadership of Jesus Christ. You know, success in marriage goes far beyond finding the right person. Success in marriage requires being the right person. I'm going to say that again. Success in marriage goes beyond finding the right person. Success in marriage requires being the right person. And he's going to talk about what the husband should be. Gentlemen, we need to provide spiritual leadership in our home. We need to set an example of being a man who loves the Lord and is spending time in prayer and in the Word and loves our family and encourages them to be in the Word and spending time in prayer and praying together as a family and making sure there's exposure to God's Word in the home and making sure our family is faithfully attending the church. We dare not be like that Norman Rockwell painting. You've got the man sitting in his easy chair, in his jammies, reading his paper as his wife and family are all dressed up walking by him to go to church. We need to set the example. Gentlemen, in some ways, you're like the quarterback. You're the point man. You need to set the example. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to husbands, he gives them two major commands. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, lay down your life for your wife. And those are powerful, powerful messages. And I'd love to talk about those, but we're in 1 Peter. Peter has two basic commands. The first is dwell with your wife in an understanding way. The second is grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. But really, this affects all four areas of our life. And so I want to talk about the four areas that are affected in a man's relationship with his wife: the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the spiritual. First of all, the physical. Number one, live together with your wife. Dwell together with your wife. This comes from a Greek word that has two parts, soon, oikeo, together, to be at home, or with, to be at home, to be at home with your wife. And this is not just saying that a husband and wife should live under the same roof. It is saying that they should live together under that same roof. It's saying there should be a closeness, a camaraderie, a communication between husband and wife that binds them together physically. You know, some women mistakenly think that when their husband comes home, they think that their husband has come home just because his body has physically entered the house. That's a mistake. Just because your husband's body has come into the house doesn't mean he has come home. He may be still arguing a case in his mind. He may be still creating a solution to some problem. He may still be at the office. He may be fantasizing about his hobby. Just because his body came in the house doesn't mean his mind is there for you. And so don't make a mistake of thinking he's all there just because he's there. Husbands, we need to work at being all there. We need to dwell with our wife, live together with our wife, and intentionally, purposely try to be there when we are there. If your marriage is going to succeed, you've got to have time together. And intentionally spending time together. You know, you can be married and be like two strangers eating at the same table at a restaurant. That's not acceptable. You must dwell together with your wife. You must be there for your wife. Don't let her feel like she's all alone. We should walk together, talk together, eat together, and also sleep together. This is something that is unique to the husband-wife relationship, is that they can sleep together, they can dwell together, share a warmth and an intimacy and a depth of closeness that is exclusive to the marriage relationship. In coming together physically, sexually, there's an intimacy there, and it's really symbolic in a lot of ways of the wife saying, I open my life to you. I open my heart to you. I want you to enter into my life. And it's like the husband saying, I want to give myself to you. I want to give all I have to you. I want to enter into your life. And so it's such a beautiful picture, and there's an exclusive, unique intimacy and warmth and closeness that a husband-wife can have. Husbands, physically, you're to dwell together with your wife. Now, number two, intellectually. You're to dwell together with your wife in an understanding way. In an understanding way. Warren Wiersbe said this, ignorance is dangerous in any area of life, but it is especially dangerous in marriage. The term knowledge here means insight. Dwelling together in an understanding way, you must have insight, perception, intelligent consideration, realizing how she is made. You know, it probably took me 15 years to really understand that women think differently than men, relate differently than men, find purpose differently than men, find significance differently than men. There's a lot of differences. It wasn't that I wasn't noticing there was something different. It just took me a while to really get a handle on it. And it's something that I go over now every time I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple. I talk about the differences between men and women. And the whole idea that men are from Venus and women from Mars or whatever it is actually, there's a lot of truth to that. But a lot of arguing and fighting could be stopped if there's just more intelligent consideration of our mate, of our mate's problems, of our mate's makeup, of what our mate is going through. And intelligent consideration is impossible apart from intelligent communication. And communication requires both speaking and listening. Truly effective communication requires both a sender and a receiver. And one of the things I learned as a man, we need to listen not simply to the words, but try to listen to our wife's heart. Her words may not really be expressing what she's trying to say. You need to listen for her heart. And also, communication is both verbal and nonverbal. We should take the time to talk to our wife and eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart communication. It's something that statistics say doesn't happen a lot. Some funny lady asked this question. and gave this answer. Do you know why married women weigh more than single women? Single women come home, see what's in the fridge, and go to bed. Married women come home, see what's in the bed, and go to the fridge. Now, that would only happen if one or both of them is building walls instead of bridges, if they aren't really communicating in a loving way. You know, I take some comfort in the fact that this doesn't say, understand your wife. It says, live with your wife in an understanding way. You know, some of you guys are probably saying, I just don't understand that woman, and you're right. You probably don't understand her, and you never will. But you don't have to completely understand her. You just need to live with her in an understanding way. You should be trying to learn more about her, studying her heart, her soul, her mind. What are her joys? What are her aspirations? What are her fears? What are her heartaches? What are her blessings? Really try to get to know her. This is part of our continuing education. You thought you were done with your education? No. Part of your continuing education is studying your wife and learning more about her all of the time. I said already men and women are wired differently, but we're wired differently physically. We're wired different chemically. We're wired different hormonally. We're wired different physiologically. We're wired different socially. We're wired different emotionally. We're different in the way we think, in the way we reason, in the way we relate, in the way we talk. There was a man who previously had been a sailor, and he knew that ships were referred to as either her or she. And he thought, ships are referred to in a female, feminine gender. And he thought, what gender should computers be referred to? And so he decided to get a group of computer experts, and he had a group of men working in one group and a group of women working in the other group trying to decide what gender computers should be referred to. Well, the group of men reported that computers should be referred to in the feminine gender because, number one, no one understands their internal logic. Number two, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Number three, even your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for later retrieval. And number four, as soon as you make a commitment to buy one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. The women, on the other hand, thought that computers should be referred to in the male, masculine gender, because number one, in order to get their attention, you have to turn them on. Number two, they have a lot of data, but they're still clueless. Number three, they're supposed to help solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And number four, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you just waited a little longer, you could have had a better model. Well, it is true that men and women are different. And it's true that we often fail to understand our mates. But we can't just let it go at that. Guys, we need to work at understanding our mates. And the next time you hear yourself saying, I just don't understand that woman, I want you to remember that, in a way, that statement's an indictment. Because God wants you to live with her in an understanding way. J. Allen Blair made this comment. Probably few of us are masters in the art of understanding others, especially those of the opposite sex. But as two people live together, their mutual understanding should deepen with time. Christian couples should be much happier after 25 years of marriage than after 1 year. Through Christ, they can overlook the bad and respect the good in each other. With each passing year, the light of love should burn brighter than before. The usual instincts of human nature should be supplanted by thoughtfulness and consideration. Number three, emotionally grant honor to your wife. He says in this passage, we should grant honor to our wife. Give honor to our wife. As, he goes on to say, as the weaker vessel. To give honor means to assign a high place. It means to assign a high value. It means to esteem as precious. It means to act with respect towards. So, gentlemen, we are to assign high value to our wives, esteem them as precious. We are to act with them, act towards them with respect. But we're to honor them as a weaker vessel. They're not weaker morally. They're not weaker mentally. They're not weaker spiritually. They're weaker physically. And granted, there are many women who are very physically fit and physically active and physically strong, and that's great. In fact, there are many women who are far more physically fit than men. But in most cases, the husband is physically stronger than his wife. And the picture Peter is giving here, I think, can be illustrated in this way. The man is like a steel mug. You can bump it around, you can drop it, and it's no worse for the wear. But a woman is like a china cup. You don't bang it around or break. You don't drop it or it'll break. You treat it with care, with gentleness, with tenderness. That is the picture here, the weaker vessel, that she needs to be treated gently and carefully. Husbands, you should honor your wife as a weaker vessel by protecting her. Protecting her. She is subject to physical attack, emotional attack, spiritual attack, and you should be her protector. You should be her knight in shining armor. There is never a time when it's appropriate for a husband to hurt his wife. There's never a time when it's appropriate for a husband to hit his wife. Your hands should be a shelter into which she loves to run. Your arms should be a safe place where she can hide. Don't push her around. Don't hit her. Don't yell at her. Don't curse her. Don't cut her down. No problem has ever been solved by bitterness of heart, harshness of words, or abusiveness in actions. We also honor her as a weaker vessel by accepting her as she has been designed. Accept her chemistry. Women have to try to keep life in balance when their hormones and chemistry is constantly changing. And that is not easy. And fortunately, we don't have to deal with that. But we need to understand that. We don't have that ourselves, I mean. We have to deal with it if we're married because we have a wife who has hormones and chemistry that's changing. Men's don't have that kind of changes, but women do, and we need to understand that. Also, accept the way God designed her in terms of her build. She can't become taller or shorter or larger boned or smaller boned. Accept her genealogy. She can't change her ancestry. She can't change her ethnic background. Accept her personality. Accept her uniqueness. Accept her emotions. Accept her femininity. Let her be the unique person God designed her to be. Not only does he say, grant her honor as a weaker vessel, but he says, also grant her honor because she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. Honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Like us men, she was born with a sinful nature. And Christ died for her just like he died for us. And Christ offers her eternal life just as he offers us eternal life. And she is worthy of respect. She's deserving of the opportunity to enjoy life and be considered a valuable person created in the image of God. Both men and women are created in the image of God. She is a fellow heir of spiritual life, a recipient of the free gift of eternal life if she's placed her faith in Christ. And you and your wife have the same God, you have the same Savior, you have the same Spirit, the same hope, and the same faith. We're to grant honor to our wife. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you genuinely honor your wife? Do you esteem her as precious? Do you give her the honor that is her due? Do you value her as a person? Do you recognize her worth? Do you acknowledge her as a precious gift from God? Do you respect her feelings? Do you value her insight? You know, your wife is designed to complement you. You've got a husband and wife, and they come together, and one may be strong where the other one is weak, and we complement one another. Often, when a man is impulsive, his wife is patient, and this keeps him out of trouble. Often, when a man is quiet or introverted, his wife is more talkative or extroverted, and this gets him together with others. Often, when a man is stingy or miserly, his wife is gracious and charitable, and this leads him to the joy of giving. Our differences, in other words, can help mellow us out. They can smooth off the rough edges. They can provide more balance in our lives. And so we need to realize that God has given us a mate to be our complement and to balance us out. And giving honor to your wife doesn't mean giving in to your wife. You don't always have to agree with her, but you do always have to respect her. You'll not always think alike, and that's okay. You can disagree without being disagreeable. You can differ and not be difficult. Sometimes you have to make decisions that are not popular, but it can be still be pleasant if it's done with courtesy and respect. There will be times of misunderstanding, but differences can be handled graciously and kindly. And when we fail our wife, when we are stubborn or selfish or sinful or whatever it is, we need to acknowledge it, admit that we've sinned, admit we've failed, admit we've done wrong, say what we've done wrong, and ask forgiveness, and then try to correct it. By the way, gentlemen, remember, your wife is your complement, not your competitor. The rules of love are not like the rules of sport. In love, there are either two winners or there are no winners. Not like sport. Think with me just a little bit more about how to show honor. Your wife longs for your attention, your appreciation, your admiration, your affirmation. She longs to be supported. She wants to know she's safe in your arms, and you want to care for her, love her, protect her. Treat each other with respect, speak to each other with tenderness, talk about each other with esteem. Teach your children to honor your wife. By the way, it's common courtesy for a man to open the door for his wife. Do you open the door for your wife? You know, if not, the question should be, is your arm broken? Your wife is a fellow heir of the grace of life. Recognize her as a full partner, not a silent partner, not a minority partner, but a full partner and fellow heir of the grace of life. And then finally, number four, he has something very interesting at the end of the verse. You're to dwell with your wife in an understanding way, granting her honor as a weaker vessel and as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. It's interesting here how important it is to God that you dwell with your wife in an understanding way and you grant her honor. In fact, it's so important to him, he says, just to make sure I've got your attention on this, just to make sure that you are motivated to do this, I'm probably not going to listen to your prayers if you aren't doing it. That's how important it is to God. You know, if it's more important to God that I honor my wife than it is to me, then I've got a problem. And it is important to God. Just to let us know how critical it is, he determined that he may not answer our prayers if we're not right with our wives. Do you want a tight connection with the Lord? Do you want to be able to call on him and have him hear and answer your prayers? Do you want to be a prayer warrior who's effective and fervent? Then you better dwell with your wife in an understanding way and give her honor. And if we do this, the Lord will be honored. Jesus gave us an example. He laid down his life for us, and we're to lay down our life for our wives, and that's what Paul says in Ephesians 5. But giving your wife, loving your wife, And honoring your wife is not a matter of option. It's a matter of obedience. I want to say that one more time. Loving your wife, laying down your life for your wife, and granting her honor is not a matter of option. It's a matter of obedience. Are we going to yield to the leadership of Christ who's asking us to do that? We need to be who God has called us to be. We need to be who God has called us to be. You cannot control what your wife chooses to do. It takes two to tango. I know you can't control what your wife chooses to do, but you can control what you choose to do. My challenge to you today is for you to be the person God is asking you to be. Live with your wives in an understanding way and show her honor. If the home is not loving and joyful and unselfish, then things are not right between the husband and wife, and things are not right with God. If things are not right between you and your wife, then things are not right between you and God, because He wants you to be right with your wife. Hudson Taylor made a statement that was kind of interesting. A light which does not shine beautifully around the family table is not fit to rush off to do a great service somewhere else. If we're not right at home, then we don't have the right to try to do something elsewhere. Invite Christ to be the Lord of your home, because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So let's wrap this up with three challenges. Number one, take time to look back and remember. Remember your vows. I take you to be my lawful wedded mate, to have and to hold from this day forward, to love and to cherish, for richer or poorer, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, to keep myself only for you, and to that end I pledge my faith, till death us do part. Take time to look back and remember. Remember those vows. Take time to look up and repent. Confess your failure to live together. Confess your failure to live in an understanding way. Confess your failure to honor your wife. And finally, take time to look forward and return. Return to the biblical pattern of living. Return to being the man God called you to be, understanding her, honoring her. Make a commitment to God. Tell your wife that by God's grace, you want to be the man God has called you to be. You want to be more understanding. You want to give her more honor. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father. And your Son, Jesus Christ, has given us an example of what a good husband should be like. And I pray that you would help us to be all you've called us to be. And I thank you that we don't have to do this in our own strength. In fact, we can't. But we can tap into your grace, and we can be a good, good husband, and we can be a good, good father, because we have in you a good, good father.